from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Tinnitus Truth, live from the booth, always beats 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist to feed your soul like nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tuning in to the radio. Tina talks truth, it's the only way to go.
Thank you for tuning in to Tina Talks Truth radio show. I'm Tina Levine, and I'm your host, or hostess with the mostest. You'll be the judge of that. We have an exciting month. This is the month of May, which is National Foster Care Month. We are featuring the most incredible people to walk the earth. We are featuring ministry leaders, youth that have been in foster care, foster parents, and social workers. All of these people are going to be our special guests for the month of May. So thank you for joining us. As always, I want to thank my husband. I want to thank Idioms for the rap song that he specifically wrote, produced, and performed just for this radio show. Shout out to you, bro. Thank you so much. Thank you to my son. You'll be hearing from him later. And also thank you to One Jam Nation Radio. I'm really excited that you're here to join me on this journey, not only on the radio waves, but on the internet, social media, and my website, tinatalkstruth.com. As a Christian comedian, motivational speaker, author of 4 books, and now a radio show host, I hope that I can share hope, joy, laughter, and healing with the world. So thank you for tuning in. Today's guest is pretty special. She actually started in social work years ago, but her testimony of overcoming infertility and many challenges, it's not only heartwarming and inspirational, the strength that she has every day to work with youth in foster care is just unbelievable. It reminds me of Philippians 3:3, when Paul was writing, he had these strong words about not putting confidence in our flesh. For we worship God in spirit, and by the Spirit of God, and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ, and put no confidence or dependence in the flesh. Oftentimes, our flesh fails us, right? Oh, my flesh fails me every time I go shopping for swimsuits. I'm speaking from a woman's point of view. I, too, struggled with infertility for 3 years, and I felt broken. And I felt like my flesh was failing me. My faith only got stronger through that season. And it reminds me of Philippians 4:13. But in Him, we can do all things. You know, God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan. And He's going to make a masterpiece out of all of the pieces. And sometimes we may feel broken. And we may feel like we're in pieces. Have faith. Trust in Him that He will make a masterpiece out of your pieces. Without further ado, I would love to introduce you to Marissa Patrick, social worker, ministry leader, youth advocacy worker, foster parent trainer, life coach, blogger, and motivational speaker. You're going to enjoy this interview. So please stay tuned. And here's Marissa.
This is National Foster Care Month. Our interview today is with Marissa. Marissa is a life coach, a foster parent trainer, a youth advocate, a ministry leader, and a blogger. And she is a poet. And we're going to hear more about that in just a minute. Thank you so much, Marissa, for taking time to be on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really am excited to talk to you today.
Well, thanks. And I'm really excited to hear about your ministry and everything that you're doing. The one thing that we do share is that we both have worked in the field of social work, and it being National Foster Care Month, I think often it's a thankless job. A lot of people just think social workers, oh, you know, you're just out there, oh, you're helping young people, and it can be a thankless job, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%.
So tell us about when you started.
Well, we actually started, my husband and I started about 10 years ago now. We walked the path of infertility. It was a very intense 8 years. I live with PCOS. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's polycystic ovarian syndrome. I have a very severe case of it. The verdict was actually delivered to us that we're not able to have children. We focused our efforts on adopting, and we looked to the foster care system as a means to do that. I'm sure it's not a hidden secret that it's a broken system on multiple levels, everything from the state level to the local level, but also the hearts of the kids in the system. Everything's broken. We had fought our adoption battle for 2 years. You know, we've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, it's not all rainbows and unicorns. I mean, it's sleepless night. It's anxiety. It's battles of depression. It's, you know, it's a huge emotional rush of just every single emotion you can possibly think of. You know, at this point, we do have a home study. We actually decided to step away from this particular stretch of road in our life. We're kind of refocusing on each other. Celebrated 10 years together.
The anniversary.
Thank you. You know, we're working on, we just opened our own catering business. Our ministry is not only through our business, we do give back to those that maybe can't afford a meal on the holidays. We will make sure that those people are taken care of. But we also have put a great deal of dedication into our church, you know, to make sure that people are not only fed spiritually, but also who doesn't like really good food.
Exactly. And at Easter, whoa, those hams looked delicious.
Yes, we did 30 hams and 5 we were able to donate to families that could not afford one. So it was a very, very successful holiday for us.
Now, what would you suggest to women that are struggling with PCOS or any other infertility condition? How do you keep your humor and still be dedicated to the youth in social work?
Well, prayers is key. I talk to God so much that I've heard him laugh. I'm sure I've heard him cry. I've heard him, you know, every emotion that I have, you know, I've had that conversation with him as well. He's not oblivious to what's going on. It's not like, you know, you go to the doctor and they go, oh, you can't have children. And he's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that, you know, you can't have kids. He's known. He's known from day one, you know, even before we were formed in the womb, and that's biblical. You know, he just has other things planned. And that's how I have come to terms with the situation that I'm in. The day I got married, I gained a daughter. I don't look at her as a stepchild. I look at her as my daughter. I would go to the moon and back for her the same as a parent would. The one thing I've heard over and over again is just be humble in what I've already given you. I think this battle has strengthened my relationship, obviously, with my husband, but it's also strengthened my relationship with my daughter and with the close friends and family around me that have supported me through the emotional ups and downs, the phone calls of, you know, just, I just need you to be quiet for a minute. I just need to cry. Nothing is worse than getting that pregnancy test that you think is going to be positive and you only see one line instead of two. You know, you feel like it's your fault. You feel like you did something wrong. And I'm telling you, it's not you. It's completely out of your control. It's not anything you did. It's nothing you said or did or something you did when you were younger you shouldn't have. It's none of that. And all those thoughts will go through your mind. It happened to me. It's not. It's not you.
And I think that because I relate so much to, we struggled with infertility for 3 years and I have PCOS as well. And that was one of the things I really struggled with as a female is I felt broken.
Absolutely.
When I met my husband, we wanted 10 children. And so here I was, I couldn't even pop one out, you know, and there's some women out there, they're so fertile, they look at each other, you know, and they're pregnant. That was something I really struggled with as I felt broken. I felt like there was something I did. And like you, I felt like, hey, you know what, God has a plan. God has a bigger plan. Yeah, I may not be able to, you know, pop out the Brady Bunch or, you know, what, 19 kids and counting. Oh my gosh, I can't even keep track of my one kid. I couldn't imagine 19. The one thing that God spoke to me, and I know that we can relate, is that God made us spiritual mothers to many.
Yes, and you're absolutely correct with that, because what I actually do for a living, I'm actually the workforce development facilitator here for Pasco County, and I help 18 to 24-year-olds overcome barriers in their life that's keeping them from being able to find employment. And these are kids that are, I call them kids, they're young adults, but they're my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are kids that have dropped out of high school, aged out of foster care. Nothing is worse than walking into adulthood completely alone. It's hard enough when you have your mom and dad at home, you know, that may be saying, you should be a lawyer, you should be a doctor, you should do this. But it's even worse when you don't have someone there to maybe pick up the phone and ask questions or even to watch, you know, okay, when dad gets frustrated, this is what he does. When mom gets frustrated, this is what she does. They don't have any of that. So they're turning to friends in school and trying to formulate what they think is quote-unquote normal, which we know there's no such thing as there's no definition for normal anymore. You know, I've also got kids that are homeless. They lived with mom and dad, and for whatever reason, they got kicked out. They turned 18, and it's like, all right, have a good day. You know, they don't know what to do. They're completely lost. So that's where I feel like I can fulfill that spiritual mother position where I can be there to help them and say, listen, you know what? Yeah, it may be just a job at McDonald's, but let me tell you something. There are McDonald's across the world. You know, if you put the time and effort into it, you can be an assistant manager, a manager. You could own your own place. You could travel. There's so much more than just, quote, unquote, flipping burgers. You know, you don't know what that could lead to. And they need that voice to say, hey, listen, get off your pity party. You know, that's not going to get you anywhere. This is how you need to look at it. I'm not expecting you to already know how. This is how you need to do it. I do that every day. Some call it tough love. Some of them call me the mother hen. Whatever they want to call me, they're successful at the end, and that's where my success comes from.
That's awesome. And, you know, I think it's love. You know, some people want to classify as tough love. I think it's love. Part of loving our children is being unconditional in that and providing that. I look at it like we're a guardrail. We're a spiritual guardrail for these children. When they start to get off the path, I mean, we got to get them back on. And so it sounds that like that's exactly what you're doing. That's awesome. They're very blessed to have you in their lives. You know, like you said, so many of them don't have parents or role models in their life.
Right. So, or the ones they do have are very poor choices, but they don't know they're poor choices because, you know, the selection around them is so slim when, you know, you're literally by yourself. I mean, I get youth all the time that are like, well, you know, you're married and you have a house and you have this, that, and that. You're absolutely right. I busted my butt to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I came from a broken home. You know, I had to move from outside of Chicago to Florida. I had to drop out of high school because my credits didn't transfer. You know, I had a GED, but I also have a master's degree. So there's nothing that you can't do if you don't put the time and effort into it. I mean, I give the example all the time. You know what? If one of your best friends were to text you right now here in class and say, oh, my gosh, I'm right outside. I'm right outside. Tell them you don't feel good. Jump in the car and let's go to the beach. You would do everything you could to get out of my class to go get in your friend's car to go to the beach. The reality is you have to have that passion for whatever it is you want. If you want that job, if you want that house, if you want that car, you've got to have that same passion to where it doesn't matter what's going to get in my way. I'm going to find a way to get to where I want to go. And the minute that you have that fuel, that passion, and that fire ignites, you're absolutely unstoppable. And when I put it in those terms, it's like the light bulb goes on. And that's a cool moment for me because that means I'm doing my job.
Yes.
But it's also a cool moment because I know, you know what, that kid's going to be okay. They're going to be fine. They finally got it.
Yes. Just to be able to see that light bulb go off. And then sometimes, okay, the light bulb, it flickers. And sometimes we don't see the light bulb go off. And it could be a couple years down the road. And then we get an email or text or a phone call, you know, that or a letter that says, you know, hey, what you said to me years ago, it made sense. And it's like, yes,
yeah,
finally, the light bulb.
There's a delayed response sometimes. And listen, I won't say that there's not times in my life where situations have happened and I'm like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Then all of a sudden something will happen. A friend will go through something. I'll go through something, whatever the case may be. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I get it. All right. And then I feel the light bulb turn on, and I'm like, I feel so smart. I was an adult. I love it.
Yeah,
that happens quite frequently to me, actually.
I know, and research shows that the brain actually develops, to the fullest at 25 years old. I'm like, I think mine took it till about 35, 40.
Yeah.
And it's still developing.
I'm a huge people watcher. And every time I think I've seen it all and I've heard it all, man, oh, man, Walmart at 1 a.m. proves me wrong. But, you know, that's just life, you know? It's just we live in some unbelievably scary times. I mean, I tell my youth that all the time. Now is the time to be as mindful as you can about the steps you're making.
Yeah.
Not only from a spiritual end of, I mean, just turn on the news. I mean, it's scary. I mean, I'm to the point I don't even turn on the news anymore.
Yeah, I
drive. I drive US 19. That's scary enough for me.
Yes.
To turn on the news and hear about what's happening overseas, it's nauseating. The future now is so unpredictable, and it's proven itself over and over and over again that you may think, okay, this is the way it's going to go, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I didn't see that coming. But that's okay as long as you have the mentality of change is going to happen. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. If you go with it, it's going to be a lot easier to bounce back from than if you're, you know, resisting it.
Yes. So as a woman that has struggled with infertility and now dedicates her life to helping youth in foster care, where do you find your hope?
Oh, my goodness. I like to think I have a pretty good sense of humor. I like to make people laugh. I think there's a lot of power in laughter. I think the world is way too serious when it comes to a lot of things. So I do try to find the laughter and the humor in things. You know, my hope comes from the little things that I do for myself to make sure that I stay on point. Every morning I get myself a cup of coffee and I sit down with my Bible every morning. That's something that I do for myself. It's important to me. I know it's silly, but that's important to me. You know, there's times where I randomly open the Bible and I feel drawn to read something. I have no idea what it means. I know what the words mean, but I have no idea what they mean together. Again, that's where it comes from. Sometime throughout the day, something will happen and I'll go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Or sometimes it'll be 2-3 weeks later that I'm like, oh, I get it. So keeping myself on point and keeping myself grounded and humbled in what I have, I find it's where I find a lot of hope that God's got something really good for me. I just have to wait until the right moment. I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I think the problem is I don't want to grow up.
Yes.
You know, my husband and I have annual passes to Disney. I mean, all you have to do is see me over in Disney and realize that I can turn from 33 to a kid in a snap.
That's great.
You know, I see a Disney princess, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's Cinderella. Okay, it's not Cinderella. It's a girl in a, you know, in a hat and a Disney wig.
Wait a minute. Wait, whoa. What are you saying here?
I know.
Are you telling me that's really not Cinderella?
It's not. Oh, it's not. And just like every time I go on the pirate ride, that is not Johnny Depp. It doesn't matter how many times I go through there. It's not him. That's where my hope comes from, is that I have things that I can do to bring myself back to center, because this world does pull me in a lot of different directions, not physically, but definitely mentally and emotionally. But being able to come back to center, that you have to do that.
Yes. How about joy? Where do you find joy?
Oh, my gosh. My joy is in my dog. I have 6 dogs.
You're a fur baby mommy.
I am a fur baby mommy. You know, the first 2 were planned. Sound like I have a bushel of children. The first 2 were planned. The second and third one, we thought I was pregnant. And I come to find out I wasn't. And, you know, what fixes Marissa's heart better than a puppy? We came home with puppies. And then the weekend after we found out I'm not able to have children, we adopted the 5th one. We rescued her. She actually came from Alabama. Her and her brother were duct taped in a box and left on the doorstep overnight at a shelter. And she was 2 days away from being euthanized. And the shelter we work with called and said, hey, we're going to need a place for this one. And I was like, all right, I'll foster her. Well, needless to say, she's still here. I am a foster failure when it comes to that.
Aww.
And then when we did decide we're not going to be pursuing adoption overall, we adopted Molly. Same thing. She came from Alabama. She was actually one of 9 puppies pulled out of a dumpster. Someone wrapped her in a garbage bag and threw her in the dumpster.
Hmm.
She She is actually 8 months old today. She is a boxer pit bull mix. She's every bit of 65 pounds. She's huge, but she thinks that she's, you know, 5-6 pounds. We're working on the whole personal space thing and that. We're working on that. she hasn't figured that out yet. You know, baby steps.
Yeah.
But that's where my joy is. I come home and these guys are happy to see me. It doesn't matter the dad hat. It doesn't matter what's on the news. It doesn't even matter what my house looks like. There could be dishes in the sink, laundry to be folded, and they're like, welcome home, Mom. We thought you were never coming home. My fur babies are my joy.
My fur baby's my joy, too. Speaking of, he's at my feet laying. And he keeps trying to lick my leg, and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to do a radio show here.
I do the creepy level with these dogs.
Yes.
They are creepers. They do watch you when you go to the bathroom. You know, they stick their nose in the curtain if the door's not shut when you're taking a shower. You know, again, we're working on the whole modesty thing. And
how about laughter? How do you keep a sense of humor when you you're living in this world, this negative world? You're exposed to so much at your full-time job of human evil and negativity of what has happened to these children that you work with. How do you find humor and laughter?
You know, I had one youth come in not too long ago. It was rough. He had literally shown up at the office and was like, hey, you know what, I'm homeless. I'm not going to have a place to live. I'm not going to have a place to sleep tonight. Can you help me? And started the vicious, you know, rush of we've got to call this place and try to find a place for her. And in the midst of everything, I could tell that she was just breaking. And I looked at her and I said, hey, don't feel bad. At least you've got great hair, you know. And it was so random. And honestly, she had thrown her hair up in a bun. It was crazy and all over the place. And yeah, she looked at me and she laughed. And I said, you know, it's not that bad. Your hair looks great. And it's finding those little things to break that hold of negativity and evil that allows that laughter to come out where – it can, you know, lighten the spirit a little bit to really, really help them push through with whatever it is that they're doing. One of the last procedures that I had done right before they found out I was considered infertile, it was expensive. It is not medically necessary to have a child, so guess what? None of that stuff was covered. So I went in, I had the procedure, and I was a bear to be around afterwards because they promised me up and down it wasn't going to hurt, and they are the biggest bunch of liars I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
It hurt to walk. It hurt to breathe. So I went to leave. And, you know, of course, they want their payment before you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
which hurts even more.
Yeah, I know. Oh, you start crying as you're writing the check. So my husband, God bless him, you know, he was there for every single procedure, every single appointment, everything. He walks me to the car. We get in the car. We turn the car on. And I go, well, at least we didn't have to take out a loan for that one. And we started laughing. And we ended up going out for breakfast. And we made a great day of it. But it's not replacing what's happening. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're entitled to your emotions. You're entitled to your feelings on something. That's something no one can take away from you, and they can't tell you how to feel about something. It's how you're going to feel about it, what you're going to do with it. It's not bad, the situations that happen to you. Everything in life is a fact. It's what you do with it. If you want to have a pity party, well, then it's not, I mean, that's how you're going to feel. But if you choose to look at it from more of a positive angle, you're going to feel better about what's happened. Doesn't remove the fact that it still sucks, but it makes it better, easier to deal with.
Exactly. One of my favorite quotes is, you can't be pitiful and powerful at the same time. And I love that quote because so often, especially for those of us that have been through trauma and abuse and a past of, and sometimes we can get into that pity party, you know, and that just led to more craziness for me. It's like, you know, pour me a drink.
Once you get into that pity party, it is an act of Congress to get out of it.
Yes.
Because
exactly.
It is, it's like a black hole, and that's not somewhere you want to be, especially when you're trying to move forward, which is the way time moves, so you should move that way too.
That's right. And we're actually moving forward to, for women that are struggling with infertility and different other conditions as a woman, how do you know you have healed?
You know you've healed when you can accept what is happening to you. It does not replace what is happening. It doesn't erase what is happening, but you've accepted it, and it's what you're going to do with it moving forward. That is when you feel healed, because you're okay with yourself.
Yeah.
You're okay with what's happening. Not saying it's right, not saying it's what should be. Listen, every time I see somebody who, when you, you look at them, they get pregnant, does it hurt? Of course, there's always that little point in your life that's going to hurt. I'm okay with it because this is the path that God has chosen for me. I can't fight it. It's not going to do anything. So it's wasted energy. So I'm going to take that energy and I'm going to find where I need to put it. Come to terms with what I've gone through and with the direction that I'm going in. Do I know what tomorrow's going to hold for me? Absolutely not. Again, I don't want to grow up. I don't want to think about, you know, what am I going to do the rest of my life? I have no idea, no clue. But I know what I'm going to do today.
Absolutely. And we only have today. We have one day at a time. That's it. Sometimes 1 minute at a time. You know, I just need to get
Very
through
true.
This minute, and then I can focus on the next minute. It's so true exactly what you said about just accepting ourselves. You know, we're treasured. We're cherished. We're God's daughter. We're God's daughter, and He, like you said, He knew us before He knitted us in our mother's womb. He knew exactly where our path was going to take us, and He has the master plan. I love that you take your passion and you apply it towards your purpose, and I just love your transparency. Can you share with our listeners your website so that they can find you, because you're a motivational speaker and a life coach and a blogger and a poet and all of this great stuff. How can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on my website. It is CoachMarissaPatrick.weebly.com, or you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/CoachMarissaPatrick. You can also email me. I love talking to people, CoachMarissaPatrick@gmail.com. I am a poet. I actually just this morning got the proof back for my most recent book, so that'll
Yay.
Be coming out hopefully in the next few months. It'll be called Paper Crowns. I'll have that on my website, and it'll actually be my third book that I've published. Excited about that. Poetry has been a huge outlet for me as far as dealing with all the crazy emotions that life throws at you. You know, that's my art. I don't pick up, I don't draw. I draw stick figures. I don't paint. You know, for me, my art is my word.
Yeah.
So I will definitely, once I get the final dates and everything, I'll have that on my website.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on your newest book coming out. And just one last question. How can we pray for youth in foster care?
You know what? The way that you can pray for them is they need internal strength. They need to know who they are, not what they're walking through.
Mm.
The big thing I always tell everyone is your past does not define you. And I say this a lot to foster care kids, and especially the ones that have aged out of foster care. Listen, this was a situation that you could not control. You could not control this. You could not control what happened with your parents. You could not control what happened to you, towards you, at you, whatever the situation is. Your past does not define you. You need to know who you are as a person to be able to move your life forward. That's where they need the prayer. They need prayer that they can look past all the evil that they're surrounded with, that they can see who they are, and that light doesn't get squashed.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Marissa, for being the hands and feet and heart of Jesus and using your passion for your purpose to help these young people and being their spiritual mom, but also being their spiritual guardrail. So thank you so much for taking time and sharing your story and your strength with us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Ephesians 6:18. You must pray at all times as the Holy Spirit leads you to pray. Pray for the things that are needed. You must watch and keep on praying. Remember to pray for all Christians. I want to encourage you to pray for all people. I want to encourage you today to pray for the over 400,000 youth in foster care. Also, I want to encourage you to pray for the social workers, the people that are at the front lines, boots on the ground. These are people that are passionate and compassionate, and they put their hearts and souls into their jobs. Please pray for all social workers and case managers, and anyone that actually works with these youth face to face on a daily basis, pray for their strength and pray for their discernment, wisdom, and determination as they dedicate their lives to these young people. Thank you, Marissa, for sharing your passion and your purpose. More than anything, you got to check out her hair. She's got like the best hair ever. I don't know how she gets it to stand up. I'm going to have to interview you again, Marissa, to find out exactly how you get your hair to stand up like 4 inches. I love it. I just want to encourage all the listeners. You may be stuck in a place, and I say stuck because I've been there. I have felt that frustration where you feel like a horse with blinders on and that you can only see right in front of you. But I just want to reassure you that God has a master plan. God has a masterpiece, and he's going to take your pieces, because sometimes we feel broken and we feel like all we have is we've fallen to pieces, and God's going to take those pieces and he's going to apply it to his masterpiece. So I just want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Marissa, once again, for sharing your experience and your strength and your hope with the world. Keep on keeping on, girlfriend. Thank you for Idioms for the rap introduction song, which is just, I love it. I can listen to it over and over and over again, and I hear something new. I just love it. Thank you for your heart and sharing a piece of your soul with that rap song. And I thank my family and my friends, and I thank all of you for listening. You know, you could be listening to anything else right now, but you're listening to this radio show, and thank you for supporting One Jam Nation Radio. I thank you for supporting Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. And I encourage you to tune in again next week, Wednesday at 10 a.m., onejamnationradio.com. Or you can find us on podpoint.com/Tina-Talks-Truth. Tina Talks Truth. Or you can just Google me. You'll find all kinds of different stuff, videos, comedy videos, or at least me trying to be funny. You know, I got some books out there and some other videos that are pretty hilarious. I'm going to end with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and I thank you for all of the listeners. And Lord, I just lift up all of those that are struggling, if it be infertility or if it be with their health, period, Lord. We just lift them up to you. We ask for healing mercies upon each one of their bodies. And Lord, we know that these are temples that are temporary, these shells of bodies that you gave us just for this earthly walk. More than anything, I ask for a healing touch on the spirits of these young people that are in foster care. We lift them all up and we place them in your hands, Lord, that you will make all things new, that you will use all of their pieces for your masterpiece, God. Give them the reassurance that you are there, that you love them, and that you have a plan. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Amen. Now here's a little message from Victor.
This is Victor with Tina Talks Truth. And the truth is, those white fluffy things in the sky aren't sheep.
Victor!
Okay, sorry. The truth is, there is hope.
Truth, live from the booth, always 100 proof.